From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, we'll talk to Todd in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I enjoy your show very much. So, first-time caller.
I appreciate that. Nice having you on the air.
Thank you. My question is, I was a part of, years ago, the Church of Christ. I know there's a lot of churches that call themselves that, but the one I'm speaking about is the one that uses certain scriptures, I believe, out of context, like Ephesians, where they're talking about singing and making melody in your heart, where they have no instrumental music. If you're not a member of their church, they'll flat out tell you you're going to hell. What do you know about that and those types of statements that come from that?
Yeah, well, you're right to say that this is a continuum, because there are some churches of Christ that are wholly orthodox, but there certainly are some that fall into the cultic spectrum that you just delineated, and they'll tell you that if you're not baptized by their formula in their church, you're not saved, and if you leave their church, you've left your salvation, you've left Christ, and these are on the extreme cultic fringe of the Church of Christ movement.
Okay, so it's best just to stay away from there, and I mean, I'm glad I got out, but, you know, some of the things they did to me, you know, I saw, and they just clearly, you know, didn't make sense, and they weren't lined up with the Bible, but they were very adamant.
They are. You know, they're adamant, but they're adamantly wrong, and they're very cultic and extreme in their beliefs, and again, thinking that they're the only true church, so if you leave them, you left Christ, distinctly unbiblical idea.
Okay, great. I thought that, but I wanted to hear it from you because I know you're very knowledgeable, and I appreciate that very much. So.
And we actually wrote this up in a CRI perspective, I believe. If you hang on, we can send it out to you. You get all the information. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Carol in Oakdale, California. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for everything that you do.
Well, bless you.
I would like to know your feelings about Eckhart Tolle, and how would you talk to someone that is almost hostile to God about his beliefs so that you could help to put seeds in their mind?
Yeah, we actually did a little booklet at the Christian Research Institute that exposes the errors of Eckhart Tolle. So if you hang on, we can send it out to you. But in general, or in summary fashion, let me say this. He uses Christian terms. He'll use the term Jesus or sin or salvation, but he doesn't use those terms in a biblical way. He reframes those terms. And this is a great example of learning to scale the language barrier. He's using Christian terminology, but he's pouring different meanings into those words. And in the end, what you have is this eclectic mix of ideas from Eastern religions, from Buddhism and Hinduism, from the mind sciences, from the New Age movement, and collectively they have no resemblance whatsoever to true biblical Christianity. What he teaches is monism, pantheism, pluralism, relativism, all distinctly unbiblical ideas.
Okay, that explains why, I guess, when my daughter is kind of believing that she can meditate and manifest things into her life.
Yeah. Again, New Thought metaphysics is a big part of what animates his belief system. But he also holds to this pluralism, the subjective truth idea, that you can't find truth in any one religion. Each only has partial truth. And so that's why you have this eclectic blending of ideas into a worldview that he thinks is true, but ultimately isn't true at all.
And how about, my daughter gave me the book to read, and I just looked at a couple of pages, and I found it, I didn't even want to read the book. and he talks about, I guess, dissecting like the ego and things like that. So does your little booklet, would it have ways to speak to somebody about the way that he dissects the humanism of us, I guess, is the only way I can think to put it.
Yeah, this is all part of the monism that he teaches. He teaches that diversity is an illusion and that the ego is the illusory self.
Right.
And that you have to see that all is one. And to think that an individual is distinct from the universe, in his view, is ultimately what he calls the illusion of separateness. So this is part of the eclectic blend, and we actually deal with it specifically in this little book that I talked about, Paradise Still Lost in a New Earth, exposing the errors of Eckhart Tolle.
That is fantastic, because she's using a lot of this, she seems to have lost a little bit of compassion even by going along with some of his beliefs, because she thinks everything is ego. And,
yeah,
you know, if something is expressed, then, oh, well, that's somebody's ego talking.
Yeah.
So this book, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. You hang on, and I'll be delighted to send it out to you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Michelle. She's listening in Independence, Missouri. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to talk to you.
Thanks. This is my first time calling. I got a question. I'm a hairstylist, and I actually manage a salon, and hairstylists are quite colorful people. And I had a really rough year, and the only reason why I think I landed this job was I cried out to God to help me, because I was very depressed, very suicidal and all that. And I am so devoted in praising God, and I want to know how I can fit that in without being controversial with, you know, politics, religion, stuff that's in the workforce and offsetting that. How do I do that without offending people?
Well, Michelle, the gospel is an offense by its very nature. But we don't have to add to the offense by the way we communicate it. So what I would recommend is that you study to show yourself approved, that you equip yourself to be able to communicate what you believe, why you believe it, and who you believe. To be able to communicate that the worldview that you've embraced is a worldview that corresponds to reality. And once you're equipped in that way, God will give you all kinds of opportunities in the workplace to use what you've learned to make a difference in the lives of people. That's the whole idea of Christianity, is to be an ambassador. That's what an ambassador does. And so you don't want to be a secret agent. Secret agents never reveal their cover. They never want to blow their cover. But you want to be an ambassador. You want people to know that you're a Christian and that you, with gentleness and with respect, will speak to them about the truth and love and grace that has radically revolutionized your life. So you've received the bread of life. You want to share that bread of life with others. You've received the water of life. You want to share that for thirsty souls. But you can't push that on anybody. You simply have to be prepared. And that's why I always say the issue is never evangelism. It's always equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, then God will give you opportunities. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mike. He's in Davenport, Iowa, listening on the web. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. Are you familiar with the series of books called Revealing Heaven by Kat Kerr?
Yeah, there are a whole slew of these kinds of books out, aren't there? But she claims that she was caught up in the spirit to tour heaven quite a number of times over a 10-year period, and now she says she is commissioned to reveal the truth to the world. Well, the truth that she communicates to the world is based on her experience, and experiences are notoriously unreliable, and therefore they should be tested in light of some objective frame of reference, and in a biblical worldview, that objective frame of reference is the Word of God. And when you test what she says in light of Scripture, you find out that it doesn't correspond to reality or correspond to that which is true. The same thing could be said with a lot of people who claim to have these near-death experiences and have toured hell. They come back with ideas, and if you contrast these ideas with Scripture, you see a real contrast, which is to say that they don't hold or square with what the biblical text teaches. So it's, again, not something that I would pay a lot of attention to or certainly get your theology from.
I really appreciate it.
You got it.
Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. This is ultimately an exercise in discernment. We need to test the experiences of people in light of a proper reading of the Word of God. And if you get my book, Has God Spoken? I not only demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, but what I do in that book is I answer another question. If God has spoken, then what has God said? And that entails learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. And when you do, and then you take the experiences that are touted in popular books, you find out that they don't square with the everlasting, eternal Word of God. We have everything we need to know about heaven in the Word of God, and therefore we test all things in light of the Word of God and then hold fast to that which is good. We'll be right back in just a few moments.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his 4 decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Albert in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Albert.
Hi, Hank. God bless you. My question is that my wife and I, we go to a congregation called the Apostolic and Faith of Jesus Christ. It's a Hispanic congregation. And my question is that some of the brothers there, or, you know, that they believe that they have a gift sent by God, by the Holy Spirit, and that they can see demons on other, and in other people. And when they do, when we do prayer, they seem to see these demons or demonic beings are surrounding people. And one of the, and the question, and the reason I'm calling and asking this question is because that recently happened to my son. And they said when they were praying for him, he fell to the floor, and they said that he had 12 demons or 15 demons on it. And unfortunately, you know, I wasn't there. I wasn't present, but my wife was, and she's the one who goes a lot more than I do. But I don't want to be judgmental about a lot of things. I don't want to do that. What I want to believe is that, what is your views on that, and if you can help me on that?
Well, first of all, let me say this. I think it is important for you to be a judge in a right sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we never want to judge self-righteously or hypocritically. The Bible speaks very strongly against those who are judging self-righteously or hypocritically. But the Bible does tell us to judge, and when we judge, to make a right judgment. So when something like this happens, it can have a real impact on your son. It can also lead someone to have a worldview that is distinctly unbiblical. If someone is a believer, for example, there's no possibility that they could be demon-possessed. Jesus makes that explicit, and I've written about this in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. So if you're a believer, your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and as such, your temple will never be shared with a demon. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So it sounds to me that the church or the people that you're talking about have a sub-biblical view with respect to spiritual warfare. And that leads to all kinds of problems, not the least of which is having your eye on the wrong ball. We want to make sure that when we engage in spiritual warfare, we do it from a biblical perspective. And I can tell you this, that if you will learn to put on the full armor of God, which is delineated or given to us by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20,
yes, sir,
then you will be invincible in spiritual warfare. But if you do not, you're a guaranteed casualty. So we have to learn how to put on the full armor of God so that we can resist the principalities and powers of darkness. But again, if you are a believer, you can't be demon-possessed, nor can your son.
Right, because, you know, this happened just recently, and they tend to turn around and blame me for the mishap. And I said, well, how can I be at fault? I know I have not been going to church regularly, but for the same reason, you know, something inside of me is telling me, and I don't want to be judgmental, like you said. You know, I don't want to do that. I want the best thing for all of us as a good Christian walk is, you know, I studied the Bible and so forth, and this kind of, it's being very difficult to deal with, and I don't want my wife to feel that I am being against her, you know, and I don't want to create a family matters over this incident or over this. And if you have any information that you can send me or something to help me out with.
You know what I'll do? Let me send you the book that I wrote. I'll just send it to you as my gift if you'll read it.
Yes, sir.
So you hang on. I'll send it out to you. And I think this is exactly what you need.
Yes, sir. I appreciate all the help. And it's been a pleasure to talking to you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. Robert, Wright City, Missouri. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. My question is about the cost of being a disciple. I came into the faith, I guess, back in August or so. And in this process, I guess I've been learning to, you know, take less and give more. And I read these things about Jesus, you know, giving up everything to be a disciple, not having a place to lay his head, and just, I see give, and I don't know, like, I look at things, and I'm like, okay, this stuff isn't mine forever. It's all temporary stuff, and I don't want to have an idol for myself, and I just guess I have to ask the question, how much is too much? I mean, if I look in my closet, I have tons, like, extra clothes. I won't say tons, but extra stuff. I'm like, I don't need all this. I guess I've come to the point where I feel guilty if I have too much to eat, if I have too many clothes and stuff. And I'm just a college kid. I don't have a lot of money. I just graduated and stuff. But how much is too much?
Well, first of all, thank God you have this kind of heart. I think that's great. And I think the real issue is that you want to use what God has given you for the extension of his kingdom. So there's nothing wrong with having a closet full of clothes, but if the Lord is tugging on your heartstrings to give those clothes away, do it. I had this experience not all that long ago. My daughter was involved in a mission project, and she wanted to raise money. And God just spoke to me. It wasn't an audible voice, but I had a strong impression that I had to empty out my closet, which I did. And it brought in a lot of money for the mission endeavor that she was involved in. So I think if God is speaking to you in that way, listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as he works on your conscience in that sense. But the idea is to recognize that you're not an owner to begin with, you're a steward. And therefore, you hold everything that you have with an open hand so that God can take out and put in as he sees fit.
Okay, I appreciate it. It's something I've been wrestling with. I don't see it around me. Like, I don't want to become legalistic and, like, push the people around me to give things away, but I guess it's just something I wanted to understand because I guess where I am at now, I kind of feel alone in that regard as far as walking in the faith right now, and I guess it just becomes intimidating because I don't want to, like, be pushing people away if I feel like I want to give things away and people notice why I'm doing that.
Well, it will draw people to the Savior because it gives you an opportunity to go beyond the material gift to speak about the spiritual gift, which is the gift of the bread of life. So it oftentimes opens up great opportunities for witness as well. I was thinking as you were speaking about a book that I love to put in the hands of people, and since I just gave a book away, I want to give another one away to you. So you give some of the clothes away, and I'll give this to you. It's The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. And the end of the book, he says, "Oh, to be wasted. It is a blessed thing to be wasted for the Lord. So many who have been prominent in the Christian world know nothing of this. Many of us have been used to the full, have been used, I would say, too much. But we do not know what it means to be wasted on God. We like to always be on the go, but the Lord would sometimes prefer to have us in prison." It's kind of interesting. He actually didn't write this book talking about Watchman Nee. Someone else put the book together after he was imprisoned. He ended up dying in prison. But this book has impacted people in the West in a very powerful way. But it talks about living the crucified life. So hang on, I'll send out a copy to you.
Thank you.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Beverly. She's listening in Miles, Ohio. Hi, Beverly.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question. I recently euthanized my cat, and this would be for all my animal friends. What happens to animals in the afterlife? I know they're not made in the image of God, but don't they have a soul? And if they do, what happens to them?
Well, there are animals in the Garden of Eden.
I realize that. They were made for companion animals, right?
Yeah, and there were trees in the Garden of Eden. So I think there's a prejudicial notion that there'll be trees in the new heaven and the new earth, but not animals.
I mean, would that be your particular animals, like pets you've had?
We don't know. I mean, the Bible doesn't tell us that specifically, but there's nothing in the Bible that precludes that possibility. So yes, it could very well be that we will engage petted pets in eternity. We just don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but...
But there's nothing that says they can't.
Absolutely nothing.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, and the scriptures from first to last suggest that animals have souls. Moses in Genesis, John in Revelation, communicate that the Creator endowed animals with souls. However, because the soul of an animal is qualitatively different from the soul of a human being, there is reasonable doubt that that soul can survive the death of the body. Because animal souls function in clear dependence on the animal body, whereas human souls do not. a human soul can continue to exist apart from the body. But there are a lot of Christian thinkers, from Peter Kreeft to Joni Erickson Tada, who have written eloquently from the perspective that there exists a possibility that petted pets will be restored in heaven as well. That is not something that is irrational. What's irrational is the prejudice that would allow plants and flowers, but not animals, into heaven. Animals belong in the new heaven just as much as trees belong in the new heaven and new earth.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. I actually wrote about this a couple of places. One was in the book Resurrection, when I answer questions about the death and afterlife as well, in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's our contact information as we close the broadcast: equip.org on the web, via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak to our resource consultants, the number to dial via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, thank you for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.